Hello, I'm Daryl Seeland, Editorial Director of Quality. I'm here with Ted Shields, a Portable Products Manager, Analytical Instruments for Olympus. And we are discussing XRF technology. Ted has worked at Olympus for more than 11 years and has overseen the introduction of numerous innovations to the XRF product lines, with a focus on bringing laboratory quality data to the portable market. Ted has a master's degree in applied physics and holds 4 patents. Thanks for joining me today, Ted.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. So I'd like to start by trying to understand what is seemingly most important to end users regarding XRF.
Well, that's a hard question for an XRF maker to answer because there are just so many different things that our customers use for it, even in the sense of quality where we deal with. You know, I know that's what Quality Magazine is looking for. We also deal in the geological world and also in the scrap metal world, and there are some other markets that we deal with. But there are a lot of variants in what folks are doing. You could be looking for ROHS testing, or you could be looking to see, is the metal that I'm making the grade that I'm supposed to be making, or is my product made out of what it's supposed to be? There's a wide range of what's important to people. The instrument can be used for incoming or outgoing QC. So it's really best to talk with someone from your manufacturer to try to get a sense of what analyzer works best for you, because there are a couple of different levels, usually based on the detector, which is what drives the cost for most of the analyzers. And most manufacturers have kind of an entry-level range, a mid-level range, and then a high-level range. And so a couple of basic questions are, do you care about the lightest elements on the periodic table? It helps to have kind of a passing familiarity or pull up a periodic table. Mm-hmm. So those things for XRF, the lighter ones that we can measure, magnesium, aluminum, silicon, sulfur, phosphorus, if you care about those a lot, then you're going to need at least the mid-range. The entry-level range won't do. The entry-level range is really for titanium and higher. And then in the difference between the mid-range and the high range really has to do with a speed and precision. So it's important that you find out what fits best for what you want to do. And finding that fit is what our reps are trained to do.
Absolutely. And again, there's some specifics. I don't know if you could talk a little bit about the safety concerns with this type of technology.
Yeah, people hear the term X-ray analyzer or X-ray gun and think, kind of Flash Gordon, that that these things are dangerous. And they really, really aren't. They're extremely safe when used as directed. But like anything that's shaped like a gun, don't point it at anyone or even yourself and pull the trigger. That's kind of basic common sense. It is an X-ray emitting device, but the X-rays are lower energy and lower quantity than what you'd see in medical X-rays or in imaging X-rays. So it's a lot safer than that sort of thing. So pretty much all manufacturers have safety mechanisms built in so that if you shoot off into the air, for example, the instrument will stop. All the basic safety is done that way. So you really have to work pretty hard to irradiate yourself. You have to point the instrument at yourself, pull the trigger, and then hold it there for a couple of minutes.
Understood.
So as long as don't do that. The one thing that people are tempted to do that is not a best practice is to hold the sample you're analyzing in your hand and then analyze the samples of your hands right near the analyzer window. Mm-hmm. Probably a good idea to set the sample down and then measure it and go that way.
Absolutely. How about the idea of end users who are concerned about or looking for cost efficiency?
One of the wonderful things about XRF is that it gets a ton of data really fast. And so you can generate value quite quickly that way. We had a pump manufacturer who got back the cost of the analyzer in 3 months, basically on warranty claims, because he was finding that the parts that he was getting from overseas, despite having certificates saying that they were the right grade of stainless steel, weren't. They were an inferior grade. And he was finding out that he was having a lot of quality problems coming back because they were failing too soon, because of corrosion. Identifying that quickly and easily, they said here in the cost of the analyzer back in about 3 months. So it's very cost efficient to be able to get data. That's one of the things that XRF is really, really good at.
And how about it, the accuracy of that data that is collected with XRF technology?
Well, the user has a little bit of control of that in their own hands, and that the longer you test, the more certain we get about the results. XRF is statistical, so you can do, you know, short tests, and short tests in the metal world for us are, you know, 2, 3, 5 second tests. So I mean, really quite short. Or if you can test a little bit longer. So for ROHS testing, it's not uncommon to do something on the order of 30 second tests. And we calibrate the instruments for a wide variety of sample types and materials. And so they're quite accurate along those. But because you can point the instrument at anything, we can't necessarily have made sure that we've calibrated for whatever it is you're pointing it at. Because of that, we have the ability to adjust the calibration with what we call user factors. So if you're reading 10% low, you can adjust the analyzer. It's just a good idea to make sure that you've got some certified materials, that you really know what the concentration is before you go about adjusting things, because you don't want to adjust to the wrong measure.
Sounds a lot like the application kind of dictates the idea of the time that it takes. But where the technology stands now, is there really much of a concern among users in saving minutes or even seconds off of the process?
Well, yeah, there is a concern about that for people who are doing high volume testing. If you're doing routine testing day in and day out, the efficiency of that becomes important. If you're using your analyzer just to do occasional spot checking, then of course that's not nearly as vital to you. So that gets back to our question of deciding, you know, what's the best fit for the customer.
Right.
So also tied up with the speed though is the idea of precision. As I said, you can test longer for better precision. And a lot of people care about the lower levels of concentration and making sure that the uncertainty on their measurement is smaller, and to really kind of nail down and understand what's in their sample. And so that's an important part as well. As speed and precision are kind of two sides of the same coin. And while, you know, a couple of seconds here and a couple of seconds there, if you're doing occasional testing, isn't a big deal. You may want the higher capability analyzer just to get the better precision that it offers.
Would you agree with the statement that LIBS is the future of this type of non-destructive test and analysis?
Actually, I don't. We looked at LIBS and decided not to make one. And the reason why is that LIBS is good for some things and XRF is good for others. The LIBS is first of all, it's not really non-destructive. It does leave a mark, and that can be a problem with some people. It's also not particularly good at quantifying a bunch of the refractory metals that are important in a lot of metal grades, and so you run into problems there. It does offer you the capability to measure some of the light elements that you can't measure with XRF. Things like lithium, carbon, although getting low levels of carbon that people care about is very tricky for LIBS. You have to do some solid surface preparation. So, you know, LIBS does some things well, and if that's what you care most about, then you should do that. But for most of the things that XRF has traditionally been used for, you know, metal identification and grading, ROHS testing, those sorts of things, XRF just simply is still better at that.
It actually seems like it comes back to something that you said at the top, which is a lot of what we've been discussing seems to be understanding and knowing the application and understanding what you want to get out of it.
Yeah, that's where it all starts. You know, we like to talk about RxRF as being fit for purpose, but for it to be fit for purpose, you need to understand what that purpose is.
No doubt.
And getting that right fit is crucial.
Excellent. Thank you for your time, Ted. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I'm happy to help. So anytime.
Awesome. And for more podcasts from Quality, please visit qualitymag.com.